Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. The Salt Lake City Council has real power, from deciding how tax dollars are spent to making land use decisions. So, do you want to be on it? Plus, should we be more serious about aliens in Utah? Councilmember Darren Mono is here to share some personal and political news with us. And he, executive producer Emily Means, and I all have picks of the week. It's Friday, March 22nd. I'm Ali Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, executive producer Emily Means and Salt Lake City Council member Darren Mono.
Good morning, Ali.
Good morning, Ali.
Okay, Council member Mono, you have some breaking-ish news to share. So let's get right into that. And then you're going to stick around, do some more news with us. We'll do pick of the week. You are our guest today.
Well, thank you, Ali. And you call it news. I just call it my life. So it's not that interesting to me, but here we are.
I'm sure most elected officials would say exactly that about 90% of things that they do. Okay, so what's the headline here, Councilmember Mono? You've got some news to share.
I am letting District 5 know that there's going to be an open seat in a year for a city council member to represent our beautiful city for District 5.
Quickly define District 5 for us. It's what? It's like the ballpark.
Ballpark, Liberty Wells, East Liberty Park, Central 9th. The boundaries go from the freeway over to 13th East.
Huge.
And from 8th South down to 21st South with a little corner of Sugar House cut out for District 7.
Okay. So what you're saying, council member, and you said it in like the most diplomatic way possible, but what you mean is you're not running for re-election.
I will only run for re-election again if there's not a great candidate to step up and replace me and represent District 5 well. And I believe that there's going to be somebody probably listening to this podcast right now that is going to be an excellent representative for our great city of Salt Lake City.
If I'm hearing you say that, my first question is, why are you walking away?
Well, I don't know that I'm walking away.
It's the old Facebook marketplace. Like, why are you selling this couch?
What's wrong with it?
First of all, I believe in term limits for any politician. I think we should let the seats be open to our entire community. We shouldn't have career politicians in here forever. So that's just a value of mine. And I don't want to sit and hold on to power for a long time just because I have it. I also came into this seat to do a few specific things. And I feel like I'm getting them done. I wanted to work on zoning reform. I wanted to work on affordable housing. And there are a few other issues, urban design related. And I feel like those, we've made huge progress in the last 4 years, and I still have 2 years left. And I know that we can get a lot done, but I think there's somebody else that can do some different things for the city.
So you mentioned that one of the things that was really important for you to get done on the council is affordable housing work. I want to sneak in some news here. We got news this week that Salt Lake City's redevelopment agency just approved shy of $18 million to build 14 different housing projects across the city. Hopefully going to lead to around 1,500 new residential units that are affordable. Why do you feel like, I mean, it doesn't feel like this work is done. Like, you don't want to stay and keep doing more affordable housing? We want more.
You know, I'm actually really excited to keep doing affordable housing and to focus on that. You're right, Ali. We just did the biggest NOFA, Notice of Funding Availability, that we have ever done. And we approved a ton of money. And it was actually, we almost approved every single application that came in and that qualified. So it was a landmark year for us at the RDA. And I'm actually really passionate about affordable housing. That's something that's come through my work on the city council is I believe everybody in this city, everybody in this country should have a safe place to live that they can afford. And it shouldn't make it so that they also have to choose between healthcare and what they're going to eat tonight. So that's a passion that I have gotten even deeper within my soul from working on the city council. And I'm ready to focus on that. So I'm an architect in my day job. My firm needs a little more attention, but I want to focus my firm on doing affordable housing work. I also have some ideas about how to develop some different types of affordable housing for different communities, and I'm excited to put those ideas into motion.
So you want to develop affordable housing, but you can't do that while you're on council. Is that kind of what you're getting at here?
It's a matter of time, Emily. It's about how much time I have in a day, A. There are also some things that the city really supports affordable housing. And as long as I'm on the city council and on the RDA board, I'm not able to use those programs and those tools. And so there's a few things that my professional life and my work as an architect and in construction and design starts to get conflated a little bit with city council. Mm-hmm. I have to recuse myself from certain things. And so that's just starting to happen a little more often. And I see that happening more in the future as I'm trying to focus my work on Salt Lake City affordable housing projects.
So it's a conflict of interest, basically.
Yeah. And there's, you know, I can recuse myself from those things, but it's just starting to happen more and more. And I'm looking forward to a little bit of a clearer path there and just more time to focus on those goals.
A clearer path, but maybe also a clearer head. Public service is draining. We talk, you know, a lot about the council on this show. We kind of ragged on the public comment situation a couple weeks ago as a bit of a PR crisis for the council.
Yes.
But
no,
we also acknowledge.
When I was out of the country, so.
Yeah, yeah, you weren't here for that.
So
yourself.
I was recused.
But I also do think, I mean, like, we know in the wake of, again, the year 2020, when you came to the council, one in third elected officials in the U.S. feel like their mental health has suffered from being mm-hmm. in that role. They at times feel unsafe. Like, tell us about your experience with that.
Absolutely. Thanks for asking, Allie. I definitely have been on a mental health journey with this job. I think that I probably needed to take my mental health a little more seriously before I was on the council, but being on the council and then us all hitting 2020 together mm-hmm. forced me to face that head on. And, you know, I'm lucky because I have insurance and I'm able to get medication and doctors and therapists to help me with those things. Not everybody has that. And I look at people that may be suffering on our streets and realize there's probably not that much different between me and that person right there, except for that I have the luxury of shelter and healthcare and enough food to eat. And that's really all that separates me from that person on the street. Someone that we all look at, the collective city looks at as a menace to our society. Really, they're not that much different than me, and that's something that has really been highlighted by my mental health journey the last 4 years.
Yeah, we've all been on that journey, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
So, council member, I mean, you're being just a little bit coy about the idea of not running for re-election. You said that you're kind of waiting for the right candidate to step up. What do you think the council needs?
We have about a year before candidates need to seriously start campaigning, so that's plenty of time for people to get ready, to figure out what they need. Salt Lake City needs somebody that is compassionate, that is positive, that is able to look forward to the future. Our city is growing. There's no denying that. We're not going backwards. We have everyone, the secret's out. People want to live in Salt Lake City, and we need to figure out how to plan for that. We've done a lot with our zoning ordinance. That's been one of my big priorities while I've been on the council. But we need to look at public transportation. We need to look at public services. We need to figure out how to deal with this homelessness crisis on our streets. And so we need someone that's compassionate, that is visionary, that is focused on the solution more than the problem.
If I'm thinking about your district and what's kind of in the work there, of course, the ballpark is
huge.
I have described as
enormous.
The Jan Brady of Salt Lake City, but like huge district undergoing tremendous change. We still don't know what's going to happen with the literal Smiths ballpark. It's possible that your successor will be making involved heavily in making that decision.
I'm certain that my successor will be heavily involved in what happens at the ballpark. You know, we're making a lot of decisions right now. We're planning for that. But development is a multi-year horizon. And we don't even know when the Bs are leaving yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if the A's are coming.
If the A's are, there's so much we don't know that.
The children's alphabet book.
I think, exactly. Yeah, the A's, the B's. The mayor said in her State of the City, it's a curveball that we're ready to swing at. And that's something that the next council member is going to have to be able to figure out and help guide the city with.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked a lot about your work on zoning and affordable housing, and we try to talk about those topics on our show, and I gotta tell you, there's a very high barrier to understanding land use planning and city goings-on. For this next person to step up and run, like, what kind of experience do you think they should have?
When I applied for the vacancy and when I ran for my full term, I really focused heavily on zoning and land use and planning and those issues. Those are always going to be important. They're central to what the city council does. And someone with experience on that and some expertise on that would be really helpful. However, I actually think that a lot of that work that I set out to do, we're getting close to being done with, or we've made big progress with. We also have an enormously talented planning division within our city of professionals that can help the council through this. So I think that the big lifts are either done or can, knock on wood, hopefully be done before my term's over. And I don't know that the next council member needs to be an expert in zoning, just needs to be able to understand complex issues and be able to know who to trust and who to talk to within the city, because we have enormously talented people within the city.
Okay, so for anyone listening to this who's like, I live in the district, I don't know, I feel like I could be good. What is the next step? Like, who do you call to be like, yes, I'd like to run in 2 years? Do they call you?
You know, they can. I'm happy to talk to anybody that's interested in serving the district. There have been people that have already reached out to me. I won't reveal anything because that's not my news to share.
Okay.
But there's already some interest. Like I said, this is not a very well-kept secret. So people have already been chatting and talking and thinking through if that's a good idea for them. If anyone's interested in running, I'm happy to share my experience with them and to share what I think would make a good council member and some things that have been challenging for me and things that I've absolutely loved about this job. And so, yes, they can call me. They can talk to any of their council members. We're a big city, so we're not a city where you put your name on the ballot, you knock a few doors, and you're done.
Not anymore.
We're running pretty sophisticated campaigns. People have campaign staff. There's a whole process to campaigns, which I didn't understand before I had to do it just a little over 2 years ago. And so there's a whole ecosystem and infrastructure behind campaigns, which is something that we all have to figure out when we're candidates and raise our hand to run. But really, it's a desire to truly help the city, I think. If you're in it for yourself, you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to keep doing it, and you're going to burn out. If you're really in it to help the city, you understand complex issues, and you can balance between sometimes like 4 bad options and choose which is the least bad.
Fun.
Wow, enticing.
Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it can be incredibly rewarding, though. You get to go and see the people whose lives have been changed by the work you're doing. There's not much more rewarding than that.
Yeah. Well, Salt Lake City Councilmember Darren Mano, I have about 1,000 questions for you about recent things the council's done, what's on the docket, you yourself. We have 2 years still to ask you all of these questions. So
they have a lot more to do.
That's
I'm
true.
Not done.
Yeah. You're also, you're just leaving the council. You're not leaving Earth. So we can also talk to you about city business probably forever.
I will be here. But I'm invested in this city. My business is here, and I'm going to be focused on the same work.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. All right, you two, we got a story from KUER this week that basically said the University of Utah researchers have found that Utah is a hot spot for UFO encounters. So if that's the case, should we not start putting real resources behind studying these encounters? What do you think?
Yeah.
I read this story and it like felt like it was almost gently implying that aliens are real. And I was like, have we determined that aliens are real? Did I miss something?
Haven't we though?
How could they not be, Allie?
Okay. Have either of you had an alien encounter or a strange sighting in Utah?
Mm-hmm. No, not me personally, but I mean, that's not to say they haven't happened. What about you, council member? Like, surely you've run into an alien on the streets of Salt Lake City, knocking doors, maybe.
I mean, I'm sure I have, but I don't think I have any experiences that I could quantify as an alien encounter.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so one thing I'm noticing here is that I feel like all three of us maybe came up in the Men in Black era, because we all seem
true.
To have this feeling that like we haven't seen one, but like any one person could be one.
Right. I mean, look at our legislature.
So
okay?
True. Lots of aliens up there.
For sure.
There was this quote from one of the researchers in this KUER story that honestly is hard to argue with. And he said, if you see something you can't explain, why can't you ask? And why would you not approach that scientifically? And I mean, though I'm not a big alien guy, I am kind of like, well, yeah, isn't that the whole point of science?
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, the U is a tier one research center or something like that. If anyone is going to look into this, I would like for it to be U of U researchers, honestly.
Why do you both think more alien encounters happen in the West than the East? Because the East Coast has more people.
The article was pretty interesting. It talked through like night skies and how many people are recreating outside and how that happens. And that probably has a lot to do with it. But we also have an interesting culture, right? Here in the West.
Say more about that.
Think about aliens a little bit more. You know, we've got, the article talks about Roswell, New Mexico, or Area 51. And those are part of our culture in the West. And the West is just kind of weird. And there's a lot going on out here in these open spaces that people can't explain. And why not aliens? Why shouldn't they be aliens? Who knows?
Yeah. It does feel like aliens dominate the West and ghosts dominate the East. Everything on the East Coast is so old. Like you go to like Boston and you like
a
we think our buildings from 1800 are so old. And then you're in a house in Massachusetts that's from like 1540. And you're like,
yeah,
OK, no, this is old.
But Allie, then you go to Europe and they're like, nothing in your whole country is old.
Yeah, they're like, this is, Jesus ate this. Like,
I had a friend from Ireland come when I lived in Boston. I'm like, this is this really old church. He's like, that's not old. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it looks brand new to me.
Okay, I can't show you anything. Nothing I show you here will be impressive.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we lean into aliens as our visitors.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not like this is news for Utah. Like, there's a lot of paranormal, otherworldly activity here, right? Like, we've got Skinwalker Ranch in the Uinta Basin, formerly tribal land, now a millionaire owns it, and lots of reported paranormal sightings there. The monolith, Does anyone remember the monolith in Mm-mm. southern Utah?
Oh, yeah. But do you want to know a secret?
Well, and then a bunch of other ones showed up, right?
I actually know the people. I know who who moved the monolith.
You know the monolith secret, Allie?
I know who got rid of it.
Oh, okay. That's less exciting than how it got there.
Really? Okay, fine.
What a bummer. I know, actually, sorry. I wish you hadn't told me that.
Okay, never mind.
The monolith, for anyone who doesn't know, a 10-foot-tall metal column that just appeared in the Red Rock deserts of southern Utah and then disappeared, I thought mysteriously. Allie, you're telling me it was not a mystery, though.
Well, what's funny about it is that the monolith is such a Utah story because it's like the people that disappeared it were locals who were like, this thing is drawing people from all around the region who are littering our landscape, leaving feces, like just destroying this like natural sort of wonder. And in that way, it's such a Utah tale.
Like, get out of here. Stop ruining our nature.
Yeah, stop tromping exactly. over the sagebrush.
Which I think is what the aliens would say too. I want to put a question to the two of you. What is a uniquely Salt Lake experience you would introduce aliens to if they were walking among us? Like, what do they need to know when they touch down in Salt Lake?
I mean, general conference? Why not? Let's just throw them in.
Why so?
I just think they need to, like, really get into the Utah culture. Mm-hmm. And what better way?
Yeah. You would take them to Swag and then down to City Creek on general conference weekend? Be here's your mission. Go return this thing to anthropology at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, general conference weekend.
And if you complete your task, we'll give you the keys to the city. Allie, what about you?
Well, I think I would be like, listen, alien, have you had an iced coffee? Because it is truly the greatest gift on earth. And so I would take them for an iced coffee. And then I think we'd go to Gilgal Gardens.
Where would you get your iced coffee?
That's a good question. That an alien might learn a lot from. I might take them to the coffee garden because I think they'd probably be like, why is there no Wi-Fi here? Like, if you're from space, you're like, why do people choose to disconnect here? And then from there, like maybe take them to the whale and be like, this is your emperor now. And then take them down to Gilgal Gardens, to the Joseph Smith Sphinx statue or the giant foot and be like, any of these look familiar?
Yeah, right. As if they didn't have a hand in putting Gilgal Garden together, right?
100%.
Or they're like, oh, I remember that.
You could take them to the pyramid over on the
Summum Pyramid.
Yeah. Don't people think that the aliens built the pyramids in Egypt? So maybe you could get some answers from them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to crack this alien story wide open.
Listen, it's out there, man. The truth is out there.
Okay, let's do pick of the week and get out of here and onto the weekend. Kick it off.
All right. My pick of the week is Salt Lake County's Working Cat Program. Allie, you know I'm a cat person through and through.
Lord.
Council member, I don't know if you know that about
me,
but I freaking love cats. and turns out even the cats need jobs in this economy. this program is looking for people to adopt cats who will hunt mice and rodents in barns and warehouses and factories and churches so they have a job. And that's because not all cats can be indoor cats. So this program is specifically for cats from Salt Lake County Animal Services who can't be placed indoors. So if you would like to adopt a working cat, there is an application. I will put it in the show description. And I don't know, pay them a living wage too, I guess.
Even cats deserve that.
Right. Even cats deserve it.
The first time I heard about this program, I misunderstood it entirely. I thought it was like you rent the cat and it's it helps fund the shelter.
Like the goats that eat
your
beans.
Exactly. I thought it was like that. And I was just thought that was really funny. And I was picturing a bunch of cats at the end of the year getting like a 1099. And
And then having to pay the government because they didn't, because of their tax
status.
They're
like, son of a, this is pennies after taxes.
God, it wasn't worth it.
God, which accounting never firm again. Does the cat's taxes?
Yeah. Oh, no, we've got to be missing a pun. Someone's yelling a pun at their phone right now.
Allie, what's your pick?
So my pick of the week is local places to dance. Spring is in the air. We are all feeling frisky this week. It has been warm. I have seen so many Salt Lake City legs out on the streets. Shins and thighs I have not seen in months.
They're all, and then they haven't seen the sun in months either.
No, they're all very blinding me. But I also simultaneously saw this study, and it was pointing to the positive impact of different forms of exercise on depression, which we are all like a butterfly leaving its chrysalis, leaving our seasonal depression behind as we move into spring. And you look at this chart and like, there's some really predictable stuff that's pretty high in terms of having a positive clinical impact on basically lowering the impacts of depression. Yoga up there, of course, walking, relaxation, like literally just relaxing your body, but way ahead of the pack, like way beyond anything, was dancing. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
How convenient for you and others who enjoy dancing.
Couldn't agree more. I was like, talk about once you believe it, the data's everywhere. So I wanted to share a couple upcoming opportunities to dance. There is this very cool group called Hot House West, and they host monthly Hot House swing nights. Their upcoming one is a Western swing night. It's on Thursday, March 28th. Tickets are $15. You don't need to bring a partner. Like, they are an enormous ensemble. Like, picture, like, Creole, like, huge, huge, multi, 10, 12-person ensemble, musical ensemble. Live music, you can dance your heart out.
Do they teach you how to dance, Allie? Do you know?
I think they do. I actually think they do, like, a little bit of a lesson in the beginning. And then after that, it's just swing your heart out. Of course, you can also always go to the Westerner and line dance, which I think if you're a shy dancer is a great entrant.
The Westerner is always a great time. I don't care who you are.
Always a great time. I know. It really
always
is.
Always a great time.
And I love that karaoke room in there, too, where you can belt your heart out.
Note to self, you'll find council member Mono at the Westerner weekday nights.
If you want to run for District 5, just pop over to the Westerner on a Wednesday evening.
My secret's out, Allie.
Yeah, that's right. Breaking so much news here today. The other dance opportunity to share is the first Thursday of every month is Cumbia Night at Alibi Bar and Place right on Main Street. It starts at 9 p.m. It's totally free. You can just wander in. It is 21 and up, but that is a pretty welcoming atmosphere. And again, you don't need to bring a partner. I have danced by myself at that event countless times and been unbothered. They're also hosting a Cumbia prom on April 20th at Varley, which is ticketed. But if you really want to go all out and get a group together, do that.
Prom night, prom night.
And I will just say, for anyone listening who also likes to dance, please send us where you dance. Because we get asked this question a lot. People want to know where they can go and shake their booty. What are the safest dance floors in town or the most comfortable? So email us, saltlake@citycast.fm. If you, I mean, listen, we're going to blow up your spot. So, but, you know, no gatekeeping.
Right.
Okay. Council member Mono, the moment has come. What is your pick of the week?
I've been having the hardest time deciding because I have so many things that I want to talk about. But, you know, I'm going to build off of something that Emily talked about last week in her pick of the week.
Okay.
Whoa.
But it's going to take me a second to get there. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about rooftops. There are so many cool rooftops in Salt Lake City. And we're getting more cool rooftop bars and different things are happening. But there's two really gorgeous rooftop decks that have been closed to the public for a really long time. Hmm. One's on top of the conference center and the other is on top of our public library. And I am so excited because I toured the reconstruction of the rooftop deck at the public library
this
week.
You did?
Yes.
Wait, is it ready?
Nope, it's in middle of construction, which is the most interesting time for an architect to go there.
Okay,
you see
talk
all
about
the problems.
Access.
You see all the problems, you see all the things that they're trying to work on and all the issues that they're having, but also you see all this potential there. And I cannot wait for the public to be able to come and experience that rooftop. The view is gorgeous. It's going to be free to the public. Can we talk about the bees for a second? The bees are coming back.
The bees!
There's a whole hive of bees that have lived on top of the Salt Lake City Public Library for years. They're definitely designed into the plan. The bees will be there. There's going to be space for adults and kids, some space for planning, but there's going to be more space for you to just, for programming, I mean, like yeah. yoga and things like that, but it's going to be more space for you to just sit there and read a book.
Ugh, sounds beautiful.
Yes.
I watched the eclipse there in 2017, summer 2017, before I even moved to Salt Lake City. I was visiting here and I watched the eclipse from the library rooftop. It's very special to me.
You know, everyone has a special moment up there, and more people will be able to do it when it reopens.
Incredible news.
That's great news. Yeah. Wait, when did you say it was going to reopen? When can we harness this
later
energy
this year.
At the rooftop?
Later this year. I wish I had an exact date, but, you know, it's a construction project, so that's pretty impossible.
We know
impossible.
How that goes yeah. in Salt Lake.
Yeah, man. All right. Council member Darren Mano, great pick. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was so fun. Executive producer Emily Means, always a joy to end the week with you.
Same, Allie.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you both a fabulous weekend.
Have a great weekend, Allie.
You too.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Our executive producer is Emily Means. Our producer is Ivana Martinez. Our newsletter editors are Terina Ria and Adrian Gonzalez. And our host is me, Ali Vallarta. Music is by the local band Mitochondria. Sometimes we use music from All the Kimonos. We will be back Monday morning with more from around this city. Have a great weekend.